guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to be talking about EQ, emotional intelligence, with a former Marine. That should be interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the title of his book is The Emotional Marine. What does that word conjure up? Or what does that title conjure up?
I've seen some movies, I think, that would fit that, right? What was the... What's the thing? Man, I just went
blank.
Full
Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket, yeah. I was like, there we go. Hope that's not his cover image.
No. I don't think it is.
We should probably give the subtitle to round out that
There you go.
Title.
So what is the subtitle?
68 Mental Toughness and Emotional Intelligence Secrets to Make Anyone Instantly Like You.
So it's like the military version of How to Win Friends and Influence People.
There you go. I like that.
So he'll be joining us here shortly, and I think he might even have a beverage. I don't think he's much of a beer guy, though. So
yeah,
but he'll have something.
Yeah, based on his email, it may be a little harder than that. True.
Well, he's a Marine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right.
Well, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay.
And have him introduce his beverage when he comes on. But so you told me before the show,
yeah,
you got a goodie.
I do. So
let's hear it.
Well, this is from 903 Brewers, out of Sherman, Texas, which is probably 45 minutes north of Dallas, up 75, not I-75, the other 75 that's in Texas.
Okay.
Everybody in Texas thinks it's I-75, but if you're from Georgia, it's not the same.
That's
a different I-75. So this is a...
It also has a Buc-ee's on it, right?
Yeah.
Probably. More
probably
than
does it at this point. So this is a...
Oh, wow.
French toast. French toast stout.
Ooh.
How about that?
Wow.
French toast stout. So I'll read the goodness on here. It says... Pairs with black coffee, bacon, and brunch. It's a 7.5% alcohol, a decadent beer inspired by a breakfast classic. Our French toast stout is loaded with maple and vanilla, then given a finishing pinch of cinnamon and nutmeg spice. Roasty malts and creamy lactose round out the sweet additions to be enjoyed at breakfast and beyond.
Better have some bacon to go with that. I mean, you're doing the keto thing right now, so you throw in some bacon.
I should have planned ahead for that. Yes. Could have just had a breakfast, a few eggs, and everything ready to go here.
Yep.
But yeah, so I started keto Wednesday. Right. So I'm just a few days into it. But every Friday I will kick myself out because of this show. So
you're going back into it. Have you experienced the keto flu yet?
Not yet. I mean, it's not like no carbs. So
yeah. Okay.
We're using the Factor 75 meals.
Okay.
Which are really, really good.
Yeah.
Because they use lots of fat. So
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're gonna cook, you gotta have either fat, sugar, or spice, right? And most diet foods don't have any of those. Or they have too much sugar.
Factor 75.
Yeah. Really good. Like you just plop them in the oven, good to go. So here's the French toast stout.
Right. Wow, there. That looks so really nice.
Smells like breakfast in a can or in a glass at this point. You got a fancy bottle over there.
That's right.
What you got?
I have a Flying Horse Royal Lager. This thing's huge.
Yeah.
So
may take you two episodes to get through that one.
Call themselves the Champagne of Beer. I think they ripped that off from someone. Yeah. Who is the Champagne of Beers?
Is that Coors or no?
I think it was Miller High Life. Was it Miller?
Yeah, maybe it's Miller. I don't know.
Miller, something like that.
Not our genre. Not our genre of beer. So.
Champagne of Beers. They stole it.
Yeah.
It says superior malt, aromatic hops, yeast. They say yeast. I think that's wrong. Yes.
Typo.
And crystal clear water are transformed by the skill of a brewmaster into a beer fit for you, the connoisseur. Flying Horse goes through a long special maturing process. This gives Flying Horse its full-bodied malty taste, making it the only true royal beer. So a little royalty here. It's 4.7 ABV. So
water, basically.
Yeah. From okay. United Breweries, India. I don't know. Bottle just caught my eye the other day. Yeah. It is a lager, so hopefully I won't be disappointed.
You know. All right.
But it is light. I can tell that already.
Well, while you're pouring, I am going to bring our... Well, I'll wait for you to get your hand. We're going to bring our guest on us. He's in the green room.
Oh.
And then we can rate after he tells us what he's drinking.
All right.
So, Eric, do you have a drink? Give us a thumbs up in the green room if you've got a drink. Do you have a beverage? He does. It's kinda okay.
I see the thumb.
I'm curious now. It's kind of like a half. Yeah. All right.
That's like the hand signal to open the green room door.
Yeah. So, well, let's let him in, and then after we find out what he's drinking, we can
rate our beverages. You ready? I got some special drink here. This is some high end. It's called Tito's. It's from Texas. It's a new drink, Tito's. Yeah, that's what I got. I'm not beer content. That's sort of you guys, man. You guys make me feel bad over here.
I like it. I like it. A little Texas flavor there. I like it. Well, Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll do a formal intro here in a minute, but have you already poured yourself a little glass?
I got one right here. Yes, sir.
There you go. All right. So is that one of your go-tos?
That's my go-to, man. I love my Tito's. I do Tito's and Diet Coke. Don't bust on me. I know. I like Tito's and Diet Coke. I'm old, man. Put in my little Marine Corps koozie. I'm ready to roll, bro.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. We're gonna rate our beverages here. I will start since I poured first. I got to say, I can literally smell like the maple syrup smell in this. So I'm a little nervous it's going to be too sweet, but we'll see here.
Yeah.
Is that your bet too? Too sweet?
I'm thinking it's going to be too sweet. Because did they include the maple syrup in with the?
Ooh, yeah, that's very sweet. Which I thought maybe at 7.5% it wouldn't be that sweet, but it's really sweet. So, I will digest while you take your sip. Oh, we forgot to cheers to everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, that's right, that's right. See what that man. Our customs are all just. Getting all mixed up. Here again.
Ready? There we go.
Yep. Let's do it again.
All right.
There we go.
This is a class operation here, Eric. Just so you
know. I see. I love it, man. I love it. It's a fine-tuned machine. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right, man.
All right. So I'm gonna give it a 3.
Okay.
A little too sweet.
Too much. Too sweet.
Yeah. Too sweet. Man, too sweet.
All right. Eric, with the Tito's over there, what do you, that's a regular for you, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm a solid 9.9, Jonathan. I'm sorry, bro. I got a good 9.9. That's what I got to do. If the ice is melting, it'd be a 10. Come on.
We do a scale of 5, so 1 to 5. Oh, 5.
So one of my guys give me that crazy half look. I'll do 4.9. I'll 4.9.
There you go. There you go. That'll work.
So it is 5 on the spot.
We rounded up.
5 on the spot. Let's see the lager. I'm going to give it probably 3.5. It's about a 3.5. That's about all it's going to get today. This royal stuff, you know, I kind of thumb my nose at the royals, you know? So
yeah, you're not really a champagne kind of guy.
No, I got the Scotch Irish blood. So, this is,
you're more of a friends in low places kind of guy.
That's right.
For sure. All right.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Eric, thanks for joining us, man, on the show. I know it was, we had communicated yesterday. We reached out and loved the title of your book. So really happy to have you on. I'm going to introduce you to our audience. Awesome. So we have Eric. Is it Rittmeyer? Is that it?
Spot on. Yes, sir.
Rittmeyer. I like that. Rittmeyer. Eric Rittmeyer is a former U.S. Marine and expert in the fields of mental toughness and emotional intelligence. He's been a professional speaker for the past decade and is a regular guest on all of the major television outlets. I actually saw a couple of clips of you on Fox and some of the other outlets there. Eric's also the author of The Emotional Marine, 68 Mental Toughness and Emotional Intelligence Secrets to Make Anyone Instantly Like You. Eric speaks to audiences all over the country, teaching executives and sales professionals how to overcome the limits brought on by fear and emotions and replace them with clear, concise, critical thinking that gets results. That's like a spoken like a true Marine right there.
Love it.
We have a difficult time with the whole reading and writing thing, so we got to make up for it, right? We pre-plan, we're fine. We just put it on paper. We're good.
That's right. Well, welcome to the show. We got to get our custom applause there.
Love it. I appreciate the invite, man. Thanks for having me.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot. 68. So it's going to be tough to get through all 68. So I guess we better get started.
Yeah. It's actually funny. You know, it's weird because for the longest time, I wanted to write a book, right? And I was like, I didn't know what I was going to write on. Like, I'm not really, you know, I don't really feel like I was an expert in anything. It took me years to realize, like, what is it that I'm good at, right? Like, I'm okay at a lot of stuff. I'm good at a lot of stuff. But finally, I got to the point where I realized I'm good with people. And it was kind of hard for me to, like, you know, like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to, like, you know, be likable. It's kind of cheesy. Think about it. But what it boiled down to was I trained, I coached, I spoke to so many different people, and I started to find these common threads of the people that I would meet and I'd work with that were the most successful and the people I really clicked with. And it ends up they all have some things that are very much in common. And when it comes down to sales, you know, people do business with people they like. It's just the way it is. So the more likable you can be, the better off you're going to be, and not just in your business life, but in your personal life as well. So it's my mission to get out there and spread love and tell people, hopefully give them some tips for how to be decent humans, how to start loving your neighbors again, how to just be decent, cool people who aren't angry all the time. Everybody's so upset with everybody for no reason right now.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah. So Eric, tell us a little bit about your background. How long were you in the Marines? And, you know, obviously you picked up a lot of this stuff, but kind of tell us a little bit about that and then why you decided to write the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just did 4 years in the Corps. I was out of high school. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was a horrible student. I went to school so I could play football and lacrosse and go and wrestle. That's the only reason I went to school. Aside from that, I was like, you know, I was like a straight D student, right? Just enough to get by. And then when senior year rolled around, it was actually junior year, I was like, man, what am I going to do? All my buddies were going to play and I got some offers to play lacrosse, but my grades were horrible. So I couldn't get into any schools. So I'm like, I got to do something. My buddy came back from boot camp, went up and saw one of the recruiters. He's in his dress blues. I'm like, done. My mom had to sign for me. She didn't like any parts of it. I joined when I was 17. Shipped when I was 18, just did 4 years, had an awesome time. I got to travel the country, go overseas, spend time on ship, just get all the craziness out of my system. You guys know, you're former military. You know how it is in the military. You go out and clean out the pipes. And got out, went back to school, and just, I was like, you know, what am I going to do? I love sales, got into sales, jumped in the mortgage business. Then I started getting infatuated with the whole people thing, with the hiring, with the coaching. And I was like, you know what? What is it? I started kind of wrapping my brain around mental toughness. And then for the last, it's been almost 20 years now, actually, I just been living and breathing everything to deal with the mind. Then when I went on Fox Action the first time, Fox National, Fox and Friends with Brian Kilmeade a couple years ago, that day, that was when we were still in studio. We were actually able to meet with people like in person, like I was in studio with them. And that day when I was on that show, my website got 10,000 hits when I was on that show. And I had nothing to sell, right? I had nothing on my website, right? And I was like, this is never going to happen again. So I went back, I broke up my crayons, right? Started writing my book. And I was like, before I was done, I got done with my book, posted my book up, published it. And it's done really well. I've gotten a lot of media, a ton. I think I've done, like 220 different shows over the last year just from my studio right here at home. National television, every single outlet pretty much. I've been in Australia, Canada. It's been great for my book sales. So anyway, that's a long way to say my book is just, I refer to it as the 2021 equivalent to the hippies movements from the 1960s. Make love, not war. Really, just like, let's get back to this fabricated hate is driving me absolutely bananas right now. Everybody's so angry for no reason. I do shows. I love my Marine Corps. I love my military. I love anybody who wears blue. And the minute I support all that stuff, I get crapped on. I get all these death threats and stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm not mean to anybody. You're hating on me? Like, this is crazy. So my mission is to get people to love each other again. That's what I'm trying to do out here.
You know, well, I bet some of the feedback you get is that you don't have enough energy when you come on these shows.
I bet.
We need to see a little more enthusiasm from you.
Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing.
If I wasn't seven drinks deep in my tittos, I'd be okay, right? The drink gets me going, man. Come on, guys.
Oh, we man, that's it. Awesome. That's so cool. That's such a great story. Like, I love hearing that. You go on the show, this major media, get all this media attention, and you don't have anything, you're like, oh crap. You know,
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's like,
I had no idea. He caught me off guard. He's like, so where can they find, literally I'm in studio with Brian Kilmeade, right? I'm like, you know, I'm 3 feet away from him. And like right towards the end of the interview, he's like, where can they find you? Where do they go to find you? I'm like, ooh, I'm like deer in headlights. And I was like, I was new to the media at that point too. My PR guy, when I booked it, they called me out of New York. They called me and I called my PR guy. I was just started working with him. I've been on show probably, I've been on TV probably five times, local TV, whatever. I call him like, hey, Bruce, I'm like, Fox and Friend just invited me to come out to New York. They're going to send a car for me, whatever. He's like, don't do it. And I'm like, don't do it. Are you serious? He's like, dude, you're not ready for that. He's like, you get one shot in national television. You botch that, you're done. I'm like, I got to go. Someone up there, I didn't have a clue. I'm like, what am I doing here, right? So anyway, like when he threw the website out, I was like, oh. I'm like, oh. And then 10,000 hits. So it was just like total deer in headlights. Now I can appreciate it a couple years later, a couple hundred shows later. At the time, it was just, I was so out of my league, but it was great. I didn't care.
Yeah, but you did it anyway. I mean, that's
right. That's the important thing.
And it wasn't true, right? You maybe you botched the end, but the fact is that wasn't the end. You got plenty of invites back, and I think that's a good lesson for people.
It is. You know, the thing with me, Sean, too, with like writing my book, for instance, like I waited so long to write my book. And I think a lot of people are culprits of this. I waited so long to write my book because I was so worried about what's this going to be? What's that going to be? How's this going to be? How's that going to be? Funny. I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm like, I'm just writing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just doing it. If I flop, I don't care. I can write another book, right? You guys know, you guys have written books, I believe. It's like, you write another book. Like, okay, it's all good. No big deal. So it's just putting the rubber on the road. It's just moving forward, right? And I think a lot of people get stuck in this rut of wanting perfection before they get started. It's like having kids. I'm going to wait to have kids until the right time. When the hell's the right time? It's never going to be the right time, right? Just go out and do it.
That's right.
Yeah. Cool. So let's jump into the book. Man, I don't know where to start because there's, so the subtitle, again, for those that didn't catch it the first time, is 68 Mental Toughness and Emotional Intelligence Secrets to Make Anyone Instantly Like You. So we could dive in a lot of places. So let's start. Unless, Jonathan, do you have some that you already had bookmarked? Or if not, I'm going to ask for
it. Well, I'm just curious. Where'd you get 68? I mean,
yeah.
That's always an interesting number because, you know, people put numbers on things. So how did you arrive at a 68? Yeah,
it's not 5'7" or 11 or...
You know, us Marines, it's like, ooh, 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 right? No, it's actually really funny. As many shows as I've done, Jonathan, I don't know that I've ever had anybody. I've done 200 shows on my book, probably, right? I don't know if I've ever had anybody ask that question. And there is a reason I came up with that number. It's basically a combination. I have two daughters, and I was married for 19 years. My wife back in 2013 had a ruptured brain aneurysm, and she lived, she survived, but afterwards, after brain surgery, it went bad. So anyway, it's me and my two girls. So my book is a combination of my birthday, my girls' birthdays, and my anniversary, and my home address all together to be 68. It sounds cheesy, but it's just something for me that it was like had meaning to it. So that's where the number 68 came from.
That's cool. That's cool.
That is cool.
So I noticed like each one's a chapter. So you could almost, it looks like, I've seen books similar to this from some guys I really like. And it's almost like something you could do as a daily devotional or daily journal type thing, I would think.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, Sean. As a matter of fact, I do a weekly for four different channels right now across the country. I do what's called a mental toughness minute. A couple of them air on Friday. Couple on Monday. So what I do was just once a week, I record everything. I edit it. I have a editing software. It's called Camtasia. If anybody's looking to edit videos, Camtasia is great to use. I record a 1 minute, 90 second video. I edit it and I send it out once a week with a mental toughness tip. And it's just based off the 68 things in my book. And, you know, it's funny because when I came up the title Emotional Marine, I want it to be like a play on words, right? Because there's this huge misconception, especially about mental toughness. Again, you guys are former military, you can relate to this. When people hear mental toughness, they think push-ups and jumping jacks and running 10 miles. And that's not really what it's about. Mental toughness is all about emotional control. And as a society, we just get no training. We get no emotional intelligence training at all. So we go through school, we memorize, regurgitate. We get thrown into situations where someone has a conflicting point of view or somebody says something we don't like, and we have no tools. We have no type of mechanisms in place to handle that opposing point of view. So at that point, we become emotional because emotion and logic are inversely related. I refer to this as becoming intoxicated in emotion. We get to the point where we're so overcome with emotion that we're incapable of logical thought processes. And in business, we lose sales. In military, we lose lives when you allow your emotions to override your logic. And as a society right now, we're at a point where we're allowing these subjective observations to totally override objective. So what we think subjectively overrides what we see with our own eyes. And that's a problem. That's a major problem. So this really, the whole mental toughness thing is just all about emotional control, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-regulation. That's what it's all about.
Sure.
So yeah, let's, so I'm just going to pick a number at random. Like, so let's go with, so how many daughters do you have, Eric?
Two daughters.
Two. So your oldest daughter, however old she is, how old is she?
19.
All right. So we'll go to chapter 19. I've got the table of contents here. Put you on the spot. So
this is a good one. You picked a great one, Sean.
Not easily offended. Not easily offended. So that's kind of perfect. Right in the wheelhouse. Yeah.
Exactly. So here's the issue right now, right? We're at this point where, again, there's multiple culprits here. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind. And I'm not going to put this on anyone, but we're just not being taught any types of skills for how to express emotion. I do a lot of media on what I'm referring to as emotional suppression. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, by the way. You guys probably knew that. So I'm doing a lot of media on a topic, what I call emotional suppression. And my whole premise behind this is, as a society, we're not teaching our kids how to express emotion. We're telling them to hold it in. As males, you guys know this growing up, right? As males, you can't show emotion. You cannot express emotion. That's a sign of weakness. Well, I start looking for common threads about issues, problems we're having and all that. You look at this. Why is it 78% of suicides are males? 80% of fatal heroin overdoses, males. 98% of mass shootings are males. Why is that? And when I do these shows and I talk to people on air and I give them those stats, the very first thing they say, that doesn't surprise me. But why doesn't that surprise you? Why is it just acceptable that way? So the point I'm making with this is we're a society that's incapable of seeing opposing points of view because we don't know how to express our disagreement in a verbal way, in a constructive way. The only way we know how to show somebody we disagree is by getting angry, by getting yelling, screaming, racist, bigot, fascist, all because we've hit on something that we don't know how to express. We have to get better at teaching people how to express the emotion. We can't hold it in.
So what are some tips and tricks then to, like, somebody says something and your immediate reaction, you know, your amygdala reaction is like you get offended, right? Either because of programming, you know, whatever. But, there's nothing wrong with, like, getting offended immediately. It's what you do with it from that point forward, right? How you express it. Do you think about it? Do you override that with some logic or whatever? So what do you do in that moment when somebody says something that does actually offend? Because it's okay to be offended, right?
100%, Sean. You're hitting the nail on the head with this. And this is what it's all about. And this is what I talk a lot about, where we're emotional creatures. We're hardwired to feel first and think later. Our gut knee-jerk reaction is going to be emotion-based. If we're aware of it, that's okay. If we don't know we're emotional, that's a problem. So we have to understand, like you just said, 100% of the feelings, 100% of our thoughts in our minds are okay. Whatever we think and feel is absolutely okay. It's healthy. It's how we respond to those thoughts, like you just said, that's so important. So when it comes to being offended, I refer to this as systematic desensitization. You guys know that two of the biggest words in my language, have no idea how to spell them. Systematic desensitization, though, it's also referred to as graduated exposure therapy. So you put yourself in a situation so many times that your brain gets desensitized to it. When it comes to dealing with people, things that offend us, we have to be aware of our triggers. These are things that set us off. If we don't know those triggers, we have no idea that we're emotional. So with a lot of people, they're totally clueless. There's zero self-awareness. They get put in situations when somebody says something they don't like. In the back of their brain, it just pisses them off. So now what they're doing is they're reacting emotionally as opposed to responding logically. They have no control over their emotion. So you've been in these situations where somebody says something, you can feel your blood pressure going up. If you're aware of it, you can control it. You can act accordingly. If you're not aware of it, you have no control. So that's a long answer to your question, Sean. What I would say, be aware of the trigger and then mentally prepare for those triggers. So when somebody does push it, you know, you're right. Again, military 101. We train. So the minute we're in the situation for real, our brain's already been there. It's not new. It's not foreign to us. That's how we handle people who say things that upset us.
Yeah, that's a great point. We had, I just went blank on his name, Jonathan, but the fear guru, fear is fuel.
Patrick Sweeney.
Patrick was on. You two should get together. We'll have to do an introduction or something, but he talks about that too, where there's There's this moment.
So much energy in the room. I don't know
Tito's. It's the Tito's. No Tito's, and we're good to go.
It might create nuclear fusion or fission or one of those two. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it reminds me, he talks about this one study where when you don't know what's going to happen, it creates free energy. Mm-hmm. And that free energy is what basically causes the fear. And if you're not training on a regular basis to deal with that, when it comes up, it's going to take over. So the same thing you're saying, but let's look at the flip side, Eric. So it's one thing to not be offended easily, but we know, like in the world we're in right now, everybody is easily offended and most people are not going to be doing the training that we communicate with, but we still have to communicate and we still have to get things done through other people. How do we, or do we take this into account when communicating with people?
Well, like you're hitting all this on the head on this, and this is such an important part of it, right? So self-awareness is all about how we perceive, express, and respond to emotion. So being self-aware gives us the ability to, in real time, it's called metacognition. We're able to think about our thoughts. So self-awareness gives me the ability to, in real time, adjust to the person I'm dealing with. Okay, so it's crazy to think that I'm thinking this way, you're thinking the total opposite way, and we're just absolutely going to get along. The problem is we lack in self-awareness. So then once the self-awareness piece kicks in, then it's the self-regulation. So if we're going into situations fully in control of our emotions, which is the only thing we have total control of, and again, it's critically important to point out, it's not turning them off. You know, I get this all the time, like, well, Eric, you know, we don't train like you just to turn off the emotion. I'm like, I don't turn off emotion. Like, I cry at movies. I'm very emotional person. The difference is I have control of it. So it starts with the self-awareness part. And then once you're aware, you're able to regulate in emotions in real time. I refer to this as an emotional vocabulary, establishing a feelings vocabulary. So we have a way to express how we feel with others, as opposed to I'm angry, I'm pissed, you're this, you're that. It's a way to articulate how you feel, but it's also being realistic to just know deep down, people are always, you're going to deal with people who are just bat crazy nutso. You're not going to get through to them no matter what, right? So once they become intoxicated in emotion, and I do shows like this, and I tell the host, because they'll put me on there with people with the totally opposite opposing points of view, and I keep my cool, right? I always keep my cool. I don't yell, I don't scream, whatever. My voice is just like this. But I tell the host, I'm like, look, the minute they get intoxicated in emotion, I'm done. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, you'll see. I said, they'll start, I call it the emotion potion. And they get some pissed off. Or they'll be like, I said, but you're drinking the emotion potion, blah, blah, whatever. Before you know it, the wheels fall off. And they start going nuts. I'm out at that point. There's a quote I always use, actually. I think this one will help, Sean. I'll close out with this one on this topic. There's this quote. I don't remember where it came from, but it makes total sense. I use it all the time. Never, ever, ever argue with stupid people. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. And I live by that. You're not going to drag me in the mud, right? Some pigs like rolling in mud. I'm not doing it. I'm going to make my point. It just so happens once you start to produce facts and statistical data that conflicts with someone's point of view, people don't like that. And the only way they know how to come back at you is that is to throw up these defense mechanisms of name calling, yelling, getting angry. I don't do that. I deal objective reality, critical thinking. People don't like facts. Sorry, don't like them. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but facts are facts. This is critical thinking we're talking about here. We can't do that as a nation, unfortunately.
It does seem that way. So let me randomly pick another number. How old are you, Eric?
Oh my, there's not enough chapters in my book, bro. I'm 47. Oh,
yeah. So you're the young pup on the show then. That's right. All right. So this is a good one. We talk about this a lot on the show.
Story, yeah.
They're great storytellers. How does storytelling play into emotional intelligence and mental toughness?
Yeah, it's, oh my goodness, the storytelling, especially you guys know as speakers, right? This is all about storytelling. We call these vignettes in the world of speaking. So all a speech really is, and all when you're delivering, when you're communicating verbally, it's just about telling stories and making a point. So when you look at these people who speak, keynote speakers or any type of speakers, it's all about tell a story, make a point. Tell a story, make a point. It's funny when I go into these companies to speak when we were actually live, you know, I go in to do my 45-minute keynote and they'd be like, all right, Eric, lots of content, lots of content. I'm like, I got you. I got the content. Meanwhile, I get done. 80% of my 45 minutes was storytelling because what I'm trying to do is connect with people. And there's like this much of content. They're like, oh, the content was great. I'm like, there was no content. But you have to connect with people. And this is what I've learned with people on stage and just people in general. They will love you. They will like you for your successes. They will love you for your failures. Okay, you're on stage, you're on television, you're delivered, you're speaking to a company. Everybody assumes that you're already successful at what you do. It's an assumption, right? Might not be true. It's an assumption. You don't need to tell people how great you are. Tell stories. It's a great way to connect with people. It's a great way to get on that level with them emotionally to say, hey, this is a real living, breathing person. It's how we connect with people.
Mm. So I got to repeat that, because if that just flew by people, that quote, people will like you for your successes, but they will love you for your failures. That is so true. I'm working with a company right now, and it's kind of a high-end, high-end type brand, luxury type brand. And the person, that's the face of that brand, does really successful, very, very successful. And just recently, she started doing kind of a behind the scenes of this challenge that she's going through. I'm not going to get into too many details, but just like real raw footage, like waking up in the morning, all this, just throughout the day, things like that. Totally different persona than what you would normally see. And people are going nuts for it because they see, oh, she struggles too. Like they liked her before, but like you said, now they love her. So that's a great reminder. And I think it's a good marketing lesson too, that a lot of companies and individuals that market themselves can lock onto. Because the success, the fact is failures are just more relatable. There's more people that fail than there are that succeed.
That's right.
Especially, and it's all about connecting.
Yeah. Yep. Especially on, the skewed or unrealistic definitions of success too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a prime, right there, that we're society right now, it's more about social media than social interaction. And that's a problem, because everything, I wrote a piece on this actually, called it Angry America, how social media has wrecked our happiness. And there's basically if you think about this, as a society, we're just incapable of finding inside out happiness. We rely on these exterior forces to give us our happiness, our likes, the people who like our pictures, who share our pictures, who love, who comment on our stuff. We're just incapable. It's called histrionic personality disorder. I actually did a lot of research on this, where it's an actual personality disorder where people are constantly infatuated with how they appear to others. They rely on approval from everybody. They have to be this certain person in the eye. They have to get all the attention. It's social media 101. And the problem is, as a society right now, we rely on this. Think about this. Your brain releases a chemical called dopamine. You probably already know this. Dopamine is released anytime there's any type of pleasure, with alcohol, with drugs. There've been studies that are done to say social media gets the same release of dopamine into your brain. So as a society, people become addicted to this dopamine, especially our children. So having children can have 24/7 access to this, untethered, nothing to stop them from doing it. At least with alcohol and gambling, you have to be 21 or 18, depending on where you live, right? But with social media, it's like telling our 13-year-old kid, hey, there's a liquor cabinet in the other room. Go at it, bro. Like 24/7, go get it. It's the same thing. They use it to numb their brain. The problem is, it's an unrealistic type thing. They're never told no. They don't understand rejection. They don't know basic communication skills. What happens? Yeah. They get put in situations where somebody disagrees with what they do. They don't like what they say. All of a sudden, you get somebody flying off the deep end because they don't know how to express their disagreement other than anger and violence.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. But even, I even think about alcohol, drugs, even those run out. Mm-hmm. You don't run out of social media. You can't. It's like the internet. You don't find the last page. It just keeps going forever.
Yeah.
I think that was a movie, wasn't it? That they found the last page of the internet. I can't remember who that was, which movie clip that was. But
I'd love to find that page, Sean. Tell me where it is, man. I will publish that tomorrow. Good God.
I'm telling you. So Jonathan, I'm going to let you pick the next number.
All right. I kind of zoned in on a couple. So I'm going to hit on one that I think is really important, and I want to get your perspective on it. But enthusiasm, 42, enthusiasm, because I think that just to follow up with what you were previously saying, in the age of social media, people are online, they're everything's through, digital platforms today. So I think we've lost the art of enthusiasm. There's a book, I think it was Dr. Robert Benson Peale that I read years ago, Enthusiasm Makes the Difference. Mm-hmm. It's important, selling anything, whether it's products, whether it's an idea, whatever you're out there trying to get people to buy into, it takes an amount of motion. People are, buying, it's like a transfer, selling is basically a transfer of emotion. So, I think that that's sometimes forgotten in this day and age of cynicism and social media that, you know, we have to have some enthusiasm. I mean, you're all about enthusiasm on the show, but you have to have that in your, whether if you're not an enthusiastic person, that's okay. But persuasion, to be persuasive, I think in any element, especially if it's face to face, you have to create enthusiasm in what you're doing or what you're creating or selling in order to get people to buy into that.
Yeah. And again, people buy from other people that they know, like, and trust. Okay. Right. When it comes to enthusiasm, there's also a term called effective presence. Effective presence is the ability, I think I wrote about it in that chapter, actually, I don't remember for sure, but effective presence is the ability for someone to make, like for me to make you feel a certain way without me even knowing I'm doing it. So it is internally, I'm transferring to you. And the crazy thing is you can have positive or negative effective presence. People with positive effective presence can leave a conversation and both people feel better, even though the person who's actually, I might not feel good internally, but I can still make you feel that way. Every single conversation we have with people, text message, email, in person, both parties leave that conversation feeling either happy, sad, angry, fearful, or shameful. Every single conversation we have. So if we can internally find a way to convey positive energy to other people, to connect with them, especially when it comes to sales, because sales is not rocket science. People buy from people because they like them, because I connect with them. If I connect with you, I'm going to buy from you. As long as you're not an idiot, as long as you don't have some stupid product that you don't know anything about, I'm going to buy from you. But many people don't even take the 2 seconds to realize that I have to make this person feel a certain way. But effective presence is a skill. It's like the people with the it factor. You met those people before. You meet somebody and leave and you're like, wow, what, like that person made me feel really good, right? Like, I don't know what it was, but I feel good about myself because we have the ability to do that. Unfortunately, people don't want to go, they don't want to go out of their way. It's the me society. I want to do whatever I can. Give me my chips, give me my gas, out of here, bye. I'm not holding the door for you, whatever. That's a problem.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I remember the old Zig Ziglar quote. If you're not fired with enthusiasm, you'll be fired with enthusiasm.
That's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, I love classic that. classic Ziglar quote right there. Well, you are a poster boy, definitely, Eric, for enthusiasm. Love it.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
What's another one you got there, Jonathan?
31, reading people. I think this is important too in any environment. But I want to hear from your perspective, Eric, on mastering the art of reading other people.
Yeah, I just wrote a paper on this actually, Jonathan. I call it emotional capacity. And the whole premise behind this op-ed is I believe that we're all born with this capacity for emotional retention. Like, how deep can we be, whatever? And I refer to this as detect, inspect, and reflect. And what I talk about is when we meet people, we have to pick up, we have to become good emotional detectives, I call it. So I have to be very aware of other people. I have to detect their emotion, figure out what it is that drives them. What do they get upset about? What that makes them happy? What makes them sad? Once I know that, then I inspect it. And I say, okay, somebody crying in a love movie, are they really crying because they want to get married? Or are they crying because it makes them think about their parents when they were a child? And then reflect is the part where we say, okay, am I going to be able to jive with this person? Is this person going to be able to fulfill me emotionally? So getting a read on people, being able to understand where people come from, gives us the ability to connect better with people. And especially in our relationships at home, so many marriages, I believe, end because someone's not being fulfilled because their level of emotional capacity is on totally different wavelengths. It's like if I'm at a 10 and you're at a 2, the person who's a 2 is totally fulfilled. I'm good to go. I don't need anything else, right? Sure. It's like a pool full of water. You don't hold so much water, then the water just runs out. If I'm at a 10, I need more. You're giving me 2. I need to, what's up? I need more. We don't articulate that to each other. So one person's fulfilled, the other person's not. If we can't get a read on others and adjust in real time when we're communicating with them, the connection's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a great point. Got my mind
a ton
going
of
there.
Stuff so. In here. I'm telling.
I know. It's like it's like a it's like a little 68 day devotional here to get your.
Do you know what I know? Do you know the easiest way to summarize my whole book? I came up with it again. I know, guys, you're going to bust on me being a Marine, right? I need these acronyms to remember. Like, I can't chew gum and talk the same and walk and all that good stuff. Sure. I actually came up with a little acronym I use. I've done a lot of media on this. I call it the SMILE factor. And it probably would really summarize my book just in general, like a good, good overview, the smile factor. Each letter stands for something different. And the whole point behind this is if you can make somebody feel all these things when you meet them initially, or even that your regular relationships, you're going to connect better. So each letter stands for something different. The S stands for show me respect. The M stands for make it all about me. The I is make me feel important. The L's make me laugh, and the E is earn my trust. So the whole point behind the smile factor is if you can make somebody feel all these things when you meet them, you're going to connect. And it's so simple. Think about it. Show me respect. Simple stuff. Not yes or no, ma'am. I'm talking about let you finish your sentences. Don't cut you off. Give you undivided attention. Put the phone away. Show respect to your friends, to your family, to people that are with you. Simple stuff. Make it all about me. It's just, hey, what is it about this person? I use an acronym within an acronym. I use FROM. Family, recreation, occupation, motivation. Find something within one of those categories that's similar. And it has to be authentic, right? We have to be sincere about this. It can't be like, oh, you like to ski? I like to ski. Skiing is wonderful. It can't be like that. Find something in common, then make it all about that person. Everybody thinks, make it all about me. I want to. Make me feel important is easy. What's one way to do that? Use a person's name. That's a simple way to make somebody feel important. It's the most beautiful word in our language. If somebody uses our name, it sounds awesome. Use a person's name. You have to remember the names first, which is hard to do for me personally. The owls make me laugh. That's low-lying fruit, right? Dumb. I got dad jokes, right? I got stupid dad jokes. I got one for you. What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?
No idea.
Surprise. It's supplies. You get it? It says surprise. Okay, like make just stupid little stupid stuff, right? And then the E is earn my trust, which is the most difficult one to do. But earning trust starts with being better listeners. We listen with the intent to reply. We don't listen with the intent to understand. So when we meet somebody who actually sits down and listens to us and then comprehends what we're saying, we love that. It makes us feel awesome. The problem is so many of us, we listen just long enough to formulate our response. The minute we have the response, everything the person says after, that's Charlie Brown talk. Well, it doesn't matter to us. I already got my response. Then I wait for that microsecond break in conversation. Then I come back with my response, right? And then you say something. I listen just long enough to formulate the reply. I wait for you to take a breath or I just interrupt you. Get my response back. That's all it is. It's this game of ping pong. If we listen with the intent to understand, we're really trying to feel where that person's coming from, we're going to connect better. That's the smile factor in a whole. That summarizes 68 chapters into five little things.
Love it. That's a good acronym right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You said I'm curious. You said you had trouble remembering people's names, which is actually, a problem that I have sometimes, which is not good, you know, because, you know, like you said, you know, a person's name is the most important word in the English language, you know, to them. I have little ways that I use to make myself remember people's names when I'm first meeting them. I'm curious, do you have any ways to overcome?
I do. I have a really good one, Jonathan. I personally, it works well for me. I make up rhymes in my mind. So the minute I meet you, like if your name's George, I'm gonna be George, George, George of the jungle. In my mind, that's what I'm saying. Like legit, like it really works for me. Or if somebody's name in my mind, I automatically try to link it. So this is called pattern recognition and emotional tagging. So this is a process where we're evolutionary. It's part of evolutionary advantage where our brains are hardwired to make quick decisions based on recognizing patterns, then tying emotions to it. I use that for other things, but for the name recall, I just, once you tell me your name, I automatically in my brain, I'm linking it to something, tying it to something so I can quickly go back and say, oh, that's right, George of the jungle. It's difficult to do. And the main reason why I think too, Jonathan, the biggest thing for me, I realized, because for the longest time, I was like, I know I'm not smart. And that's probably why I'm not remembering it. But the reason why we're not good at that is because we're so into the other person. I'm so engulfed in someone I meet them. Their name isn't after. So the minute I meet somebody, I'm constantly looking, what do I got? What's that? Like I'm looking for something to connect with, something to point out. The name just goes right out the back window. It's hard to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your secrets? I could use some
old famous football players back in the day because I used to love to. I've got all this catalog of famous football players that I used to keep track of when I was a kid. So I just go back and anytime somebody mentions a name or a number, I associate that with a player name or a jersey number.
Perfect.
And it always works. I mean, even with combinations, phone numbers, everything. I can link it up with jersey numbers and everything.
I like that. That's a great way. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good for like baseball card collectors or, you know.
That's right.
Pokemon card collectors, whatever your thing is, no judgment.
I just kept, I keep thinking of Rain Man. I keep thinking of Rain Man when you said that was like 364. Remember, like when the other, like the straws that's fall right on the ground, right? That was awesome. That guy was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff. Man. Jonathan, you got any other questions? If not, I think we can.
No, I think it's really cool. I think, you know, we talk about persuasion on the show. You know, that's kind of the theme of this, but everything you talk about, you know, or most of the things you talk about in your book are, you know, if you just read and apply that to your own life and into your business and into your family or your work and life, you know, it's just, people are going to like you naturally. You know, I told Sean at the beginning before you came on the show, I was like, this book reminds me of like a military version of How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know?
Good call.
So that would be a good way that I would summarize this, which
that's cool. I appreciate it.
Read years.
You know, it's funny. And I think probably the takeaway with this too, Jonathan, probably the easiest, simplest way, and you probably heard this one before. I'm sure you guys have heard this quote before, but it's so insanely true. People will forget the things you say. They'll forget the things you do. They will never forget the way you made them feel. Absolutely. And it's just so critically important. Connecting is all about making somebody feel a certain way. I want to make you feel good inadvertently, not you directly walk away being like, why do you try so hard? I just want to do that. How do you do it? You do it by the smile factor, I think. Showing them respect, making all about them. It's the easiest, simplest stuff to do, but it's all about making people feel a certain way. They will never forget how you made them feel. It's gold.
I think that was a Zig Ziglar quote as well.
Was it?
I think so. I've been listening to some of his stuff recently, so it sounds familiar from that standpoint. But yes, I know a lot of people have used it since then too, because it's true. Like he probably got it from somewhere, probably a Stoic or somebody ahead of him.
So true.
So I got to give you a killer idea. This is gold. Please.
I love ideas, man.
Okay? So what you need to do is take your title, man. You got a chicken soup for the soul, this thing. You got the emotional Marines guide. So I can think of all of these titles for you. So you guys got the emotional Marines guide to teenagers. Cause man, I tell you, that's, I got two teenagers right now and reading through this stuff. I'm like, I can apply that. I can apply that. I can apply that.
That's actually in process right now, Jonathan. I'm actually considering very deeply running for office here in Maryland. I think I might run for delegate. I'm being coerced into it. I don't really know if I'm fully prepared for it yet, but I'm actually working on someone right now with the emotional Marine for politics. So it's funny. It's an awesome idea. Awesome. Same. And the kids part of it, I'm huge. I try so hard to get through to get through to parents, to get through whatever kids. Kids desperately, desperately need emotional intelligence skills.
Yeah.
Prior to the internet, prior to all this stuff, they needed it. Now they need even more than ever. They're just so lacking in communication skills. And again, their brains are being systematically desensitized. Did you know by the time the average child reaches the age of 18, they've witnessed over 200,000 acts of violence via social media, television, all that kind of stuff, 16,000 of which were murders. Okay. I'm not one of these weirdos that says if you play Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty, you're going to go out and shoot up a shopping mall. I'm not one of those weird. I don't believe that. Okay. I'm not saying it turns them into a murder. What I'm saying is if your brain is systematically desensitized to something, at some point it's going to wear off. It's not going to have the same effect it normally has. MMA stuff. I can't watch MMA fights. It makes my blood, but like I can't watch people get their butts kicked. Like I just can't do it. Yeah. I can tell you right now for fact, if I sat down every single night for a month straight and watched that, at the end of the month, I'd be like falling asleep, like eating Big Macs, watching. It wouldn't be a big deal to me anymore. Our kids are systematically desensitized. That's the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a big problem. So, write that other book after you're done with the politics.
Thanks for the idea, man. I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Awesome. I love when the wheels, the military guys, man. Us military guys got it going on. I love that. Yeah.
And be careful up there in the politics in Maryland. Who knows what's waiting in the weeds for you there.
Ton of hate. It's funny because I'm all about objective reality. So I get invited to speak at these events, right? And I'll get up on the microphone. The person who brought me in, I'm like, hey guys, for all intents and purposes, I'm apolitical. And everybody gives me something like, what? I'm like, I'm all about the facts. Like your facts, if it agrees with my, I'm good with that. If it doesn't agree, and it's funny because when I do these shows, I keep my cool. People go off on me. They go off on me. I'm like, okay, all right. They'll go off me 10 minutes, call me every name on the sun, whatever. And then they'll be done. I'll be like, that point you made about what you're talking about with like schools, I agree with you on that. And they're like, what are you talking about? You jerk. I'm like, I agree with you. It's like, I just said all that and you're saying you agree with me. I'm like, yeah. And then the host even will call me Edward, like, how do you see through all that crap? Like, the name they called you? I'm like, he doesn't know me. He has no idea who I am. Not just his. He's drunk in emotion. He's going to call me a month from now and apologize for what he's, well, he probably won't because a lot of them are just idiots. But, it, you know what I mean? There's drunk in emotion. I don't take that stuff personally. And that's the problem. We process information emotionally instead of processing it logically. Yeah. We take emotional hits when people say things about us. They don't even know us. So just bye. Have a nice day. People can't do that because we're emotional.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And it's, yeah, facts don't matter. I mean, you watch today's media, the facts don't matter at all because it's, I don't care what side of the aisle. I mean, what, regardless of whether you watch, you know, this outlet or this outlet over here, so much of it is just their whole, you know, their whole objective is to get people, you know, clicking or watching or tuning in and to get people just on edge completely. And so,
and here's the biggest problem with this, Jonathan, the main problem right now, we can deal with the media we don't like. We cannot deal with the media we don't trust. And there is zero trust right now because facts, you're absolutely right, have nothing to do with it. What we feel in our hearts is totally superseding what we see with our eyes. I don't care what fact I put in front of you. Once your heart has made a decision, once your heart has found something, this is called reticular activating system, confirmation bias. Once our heart makes a decision, I don't care what you, it doesn't matter to me. That is not black, that's white. Well, it's not, it's black. No, not, it's white. My heart told me it is. Yeah. So the problem is we can't separate the two out. We're using emotion instead of logic. We're not balancing them. And then we don't care about anything other than the fact that my heart told me so. That's dangerous. Yeah. When you couple it on top of a media that's all about driving their narrative, whichever direction it's in, doesn't matter to me. It's scary. It's a horrible, scary time right now. It's creating mass hate, mass confusion, because the media wants to prevent unity. Without clarity, there can be no unity. It's a problem.
Yeah. And I think it's so much easier to control, even though it sounds counterintuitive or paradoxical, whichever word you want to use. It's actually whoever can stay calm can control the one who's not calm, right?
Yep.
So the emotional person. So if the powers that be can get you emotional, they can turn you a lot easier and faster, you know, than they can if you're calm and rational.
100% agree with you. The one who gets emotional first loses. Yep.
Absolutely.
And that's where that's where military training comes in. You know, we all bleed green. Just 7.3% of our population are veterans, believe it or not. And that's a crazy thing to me. Like, we have so much to provide, right? We have so many things to help the show. I'm on this men for military service. You know what you get with a veteran? Commitment, integrity, accountability, loyalty, the service before self mentality. You don't get that anywhere else. We all raise the right hand, right? We all bleed green. We all know what we're there for. It's one common fabric that we all fight for. I don't care what uniform you wear, Army, Marine Corps, doesn't matter to me. The same American flag on the front, right? Doesn't matter to me. That's a camaraderie you don't see anywhere else. You guys know this. Military, police, first responders, you get it there. But aside from that, there's no common fabric. There's none. That's what's missing in our country. Start requiring mandatory military service. I'm not saying you got to go out in grenades and M16s and killing people. Go out the park service, national park, something where you leave where you live. You go work with people you do not like. You find a way to accomplish the mission. That's what you do. Yeah. You want to start changing this whole country, have people learn how to work with others and realize that deep down, we're all hardwired the same exact way. We're just different variations of the same core psychological blueprint. We want kindness. We want empathy. We want love. It's all we want. Nobody hates anybody. We hate the boogeyman. That's all we hate, right? We don't hate anybody. Media drives me nuts, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting going in the military and, you know, at 18 to 20, you know, wherever you were, 17, and all of a sudden being thrown in a room with 30 or 40 guys from different parts of the country with different beliefs and different races and like everything, like, and you don't have a choice. Like, you got to figure it out over the next 8 weeks. Cause you're
spot on.
You're literally living, breathing, showering, like, you know, one person screws up, everybody's getting punished, you know, all that stuff. Like,
right.
It is even if you don't like it, you respect it. And under, like, if it's not for you, you got out in 4 years, I got out in 3 years. Like, you know, it wasn't a lifestyle for me, but I definitely learned so much there about how to deal with people I'm not familiar with that were different from where I came from. You know,
cause you're forced to work with them regardless.
Yeah, it's not just race. It's like, you know, there's a big difference between Georgia boys and guys from New Jersey. Like, there's a big difference, you know, like, and that culture clash is something you learn to deal with very, very quickly, or else you just, I mean, it, well, There is no or else. Like, you just have to.
Because there's a mission. There's a mission, yeah. Right? It's like, I do a lot of veteran suicide. I do a lot of media on this, right? And I talk about it's a philosophy in the Marine Corps. I'm assuming it's the same way in the Army. Improvise, adapt, overcome. There's a mission. If there's a wall, if there's a barrier, you improvise, you adapt, you overcome. My whole premise about veteran suicide, why there's such higher risk veterans are for suicide, I initially thought PTSD or something like that, which is not true at all. My whole thought process is with veterans, it's the improvise, adapt, and overcome mentality that they try to apply to mental health issues, and it doesn't work. So what do they see? What do we see? What do us three see when there's a problem? We see, find a way to get through the problem. Improvise, adapt, overcome. Mission must be completed. We have that training. We apply that towards mental health issues. When we can't accomplish the mission, when we can't improvise, adapt, and overcome, failure. So from a mental health standpoint, I believe that's why, I mean, one of many reasons, obviously, I think that's a big part of it, because failure is not an option. We don't know how to handle it. We know that we're going to be looked down upon once we admit that we have mental health problems. This has to be addressed. There needs to be significant amounts of resources put into why males especially are so high risk for suicide.
That's a great point. It reminds me of, I was looking over my bookshelf here, and Simon Sinek says some similar things in his book, The Infinite Game. I don't know, yes, if you've seen that one yet, Eric, but
I have not.
Great. Because there's not a clear finish line like there is in sports and like there is in military and service. Like in business, it's never ending, right? I mean, especially the more profitable and better you want to be to your customers and things like that, it takes a longer and longer term view, not a quarter by quarter view. So he talks about the infinite game and how it's just a different way of thinking compared to the very structured military, you know, thinking that we've talked about, or the way a lot of old school 80s type businesses were run, where it's all about, you know, the next merger, next acquisition, the next quarterly statement, and to take that longer view, which I think is the same thing for mental type issues. You have to realize it's just part of a much bigger system than today. Or, you know, next week or whatever.
But we need these skills, right? We need these skills. We need to be taught something about basic emotional intelligence skills. How do we handle situations? How do we respond? How do we? And we get none of this, and we're just put in situations, and we're expected to turn it off. And we can't expect somebody to turn off something that is the most powerful thing available. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than someone who's emotionally charged. You talk about fear. Think about fight or flight. Look at people who lift up cars when their kid's stuck in the car. In Maryland here, we just had that car. There was a car accident on Route 90 bridge. A child was ejected from a car into the water. Some bystander jumps over the bridge to save this person. That's fight or flight. So fear serves a purpose, but you have to be able to direct that fear. And again, if we're not teaching them any, it's like when I was a kid, and you guys probably too, don't hold in your sneeze. If you hold in your sneeze, your lungs are going to collapse. It's the same exact thing with emotions. What do we expect people to do if we don't give them an outlet for how to express it? They're suppressing, suppressing, suppressing. At some point, they're going to explode. So we shouldn't be surprised when these people go bananas. They've had all these different layering of things, and they've had no way to express how they feel. Why are we not teaching our kids this stuff?
Well, my wife would love for me to hold in my sneeze because she hates it when I sneeze.
I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I count the wood. I'm like, I can't do it.
Tell her I can't hold it in. What are you talking about? But she's like, you got a loud sneeze. Eric, where can people find out your book? Find out, you know, what's the best place people can get a copy of your book and then find out more about you?
You're the man, Jonathan. Thank you. Thank you too, Sean, for having me. I appreciate it, guys. My website's best. It's mentaltoughnessspeaker.com. My website for my book is emotionalmarine.com. I'm all over social media, Facebook. Find me on Facebook, Instagram. Awesome. Catching hate on Twitter. Everybody hate me on Twitter. So I'm kind of all over the place there, but my website's great. And then again, Emotional Marine. So I really appreciate the invite, man. It's great talking with you guys. I'll bring a beer instead of Tito's next time. It was short notice though. So I actually have a place down the street. I could have gotten some crazy drinks. I'll get it next time for you. I'm gonna grab my beer too next time.
Sounds good.
Maybe that'll calm you down a little bit. Maybe a beer. That's right, exactly.
I got some veterans on here, man. I love you guys. It's Friday night. Like, I just love it. I'm tired, like, man. I just love it. I just love it. Just, you know, Kuna Matata, man. It's like, you know, Lion King. Kuna Matata. No worries, man. Just everybody. Just seriously, let's get back to just loving each other again. I just can't stand, I hate angry people. Like, why can't we assume the best intentions in people? Why do we automatically, the minute I disagree with you, why do you have to hate my guts because of it? Why can't we just, you know what I mean? It's just so, it's so simple to do. It sounds so simple, but we have to do this collectively. It can't be done with just, you know, it can't be done social media. It's got to be done on the ground, boots on the ground. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. I appreciate you having me too. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, you bet, man. Been a pleasure. And we're going to send you to the green room here for a second. John and I are going to wrap up, but just hold tight in the green room. We'd love to talk to you after the show.
Will do. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, man. Eric Rittmeyer. Good stuff, man. What'd you think?
I think he has a career as a professional wrestler in the future. Like, with that enthusiasm, I could see him as like the emotional Marine would be his character for like a wrestling WWE thing. He's got the look.
I love it.
I think he could pull that off.
I think
the emotional Marine.
I think he could, man.
But then he could get super calm in the ring and just like, that's your next PR thing, Eric. So
I tell you, man, he's got some branding cash right there.
I'm telling
just
you.
That emotional Marine thing.
Yeah, I love
different areas.
Love the juxtaposition. That's a tough word.
It is.
The emotional, the Marine, like that's perfect. So
it's a tough word, especially after having a
glass of French toast. This is probably one of the few beers I've not finished on the show. It's that sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
all right. I'll let you take us out.
All right, guys. Well, thanks as always for listening, for watching us. You can find us over at persuasionabythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms. And as always, thanks for listening. If you check out our show, you love it. Leave us a few stars. 5 is preferable, just like the pints that we leave our best beers on the show.
Yep.
John, it's been fun, man. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.